Welcome to Funnel Hacker Radio Podcast, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here's your host, Dave Woodward.
Welcome back, everybody. So this is the second part of a two-part series here of my 4 days down with the real rich dad. Now, first of all, you kind of need to understand the backstory as far as why I'm calling him the real rich dad. This guy's name is Keith Cunningham, and he actually is the person who Robert Kiyosaki learned the Rich Dad from. So, spoiler alert here, if you've read Rich Dad, Poor Dad and thought there actually was a real rich dad, the real rich dad actually is Keith Cunningham. And it was kind of a funny thing. So, when we were sitting there, he basically, you know, like any event, a lot of people are trying to take notes and everything else. And one guy kind of put up a video camera and started to record, and he's like, okay, wait, real quick here, just so we're all on the same page. I don't mind you guys taking notes. I don't mind you doing, you know, quoting me or anything like that, but I will not allow anybody to record me, either audio or visual. He goes, let me tell you a story. It's been probably 20, 30 years, 25 years ago now or so, whatever it's been. And I actually had a guy sitting in the audience like this when I was teaching a class, one of my very first few classes, and actually recorded everything, and then all of a sudden, he asked if he could put some of his books in my car washes. So this guy actually owns a whole bunch of businesses, and one of them happens to be a bunch of car washes. And he's like, I know I really don't do that kind of stuff, but since you've been in my classes, you know, sure, whatever. So he actually allowed him to sell some of his books in his car washes, and then come to find out, since all of his stuff was in Texas, one of us was actually up in Dallas, and Dexter, I forget his last name, who was a huge guy in Amway, got a hold of this book and blew this book up. And then all of a sudden, he found himself having a quote from his own material that other people basically stolen from him and made. So I think to say there's there's no love lost between him and Mr. Kiyosaki would probably be an understatement. But with that said, it was kind of funny. He said, yeah, so if anyone's wondering what's going on, yes, I'm actually the guy who Robert Kiyosaki learned everything from and put into his book. So I'm not going to allow you guys to – I'm not going to pay to quote myself is basically what he ended up saying. So that's the kind of the backstory of why this is – why I went there. It's a four-day MBA program with Keith Cunningham. Great content. Dove a ton into the numbers. I mean, balance sheets, cash flow statements, P&Ls, literally for 2 days, just crushing through that. Maybe spend the next couple of days applying everything that we learned. And some of the things he talked about was, you know, hiring employees and understanding cash flow statements and a whole bunch of that kind of stuff. Again, if you're not familiar with your balance sheet, your income or P&L statement and your statement of cash flow, those are things you have to understand and realize that your statement of cash flow is probably one of the most important things. You're going to find that you've got operating cash flow, which is really your most important thing you'll find in any business. As soon as your operating cash flow is negative, you're really going to pay dearly to try to save your business. You then have investing cash flow and financing cash flow. And one of the main things you'll find here is that if you take your investing cash flow minus your operating cash flow, that's going to be whatever your financing cash flow needs are required. So realize that when you're actually out there building a business, the ideal situation is if you can get your operating cash flow to be greater than your investing cash flow, then you got a ton of free cash flow. And that's really kind of the holy grail to business. And I'm not going to go into all the details on the metrics and all this kind of stuff for right now, but just realize that operating cash flow is your most important number. And I want you guys, if you're not familiar with this stuff, you really need to spend some time and do the research on it. But as far as growth, some of the main things you're going to find is that if your operating cash flow is positive and if it's greater than your profits, and ideally if it's growing faster than your profits, then your business is going to scale like crazy. And those are some of the main things that you're going to be looking at. I'm going to dive into some of the things he talked about. And one of the main things was really what is your cost to acquire a customer on the front end. But he compared that to a number so that's called CAC, and a lot of people are very familiar with CAC. But he actually compared that to CKC, and I had never heard that number before. I'm like, what the heck is CKC? And CKC is your cost to keep a customer. It says too often everyone's so focused on just the cost to acquire a customer, they don't understand there's actual hard cost to keeping that customer. And the key is if you can actually find a way to really identify what that number is to keep your customer, you then can identify how much you're willing to cost to basically acquire that customer, and you can then identify what your real profit numbers are. So again, this is not a math class. I don't want to spend a whole bunch of time on that, but I would just want to make sure if you're not familiar with those kind of numbers, you need to take some time, attend the 4-day MBA, or if nothing else, get with your accountant, CPA, or take some basic business financing classes so you understand that kind of stuff, because it really is some of the most important things you're going to run across. But we were talking a lot about hiring and managing, and these are things that applies to any business, whether you're online or offline, but especially online. I think when you're looking at working with a lot of outsourced type of employees, you want to make sure that you're not just hiring for the skills, but you're hiring for deliverables. And I'm really big on that kind of stuff. And that what I mean by that is you want to make sure that you're paying for performance and you're paying for outcomes more so than just a whole bunch of skills. People can you know, brag about all the skills they have, but if they can't actually perform, especially as a small business owner, that is going to cripple you like crazy. So that's one of the main things that I always look for is what are the deliverables? What are the outcomes that I'm truly hiring for? And the more defined you can make that, the better you're going to find your business will scale. And all of these things I'm going through right now, as we relaunch Funnel Hacker Radio here in the next month, it'll make a ton of sense because we're going to talk about scaling businesses and really how we're growing from 70,000 to 100,000 customers by the end of this year and why it's important to you and how you can do that in your own business. One of the things you talked about when you're working with employees is to understand why surprise money is so much better than bonuses. In a lot of businesses these days, we do quarter reviews or annual reviews or things like that where there's a bonus tied to that. One of the things he said is you never ever want to have your reviews associated with discussions about income. They should be totally separate conversations. So any conversation you're going to have about performance needs to be performance related and then have a separate conversation at a different time where it's then related with income or bonuses in that area. But realize that surprise money is probably the most important type of money because it's random. And it's really one of those things, it's just your way of saying, I appreciate you. It can be as simple as a couple $100 with a little card just saying, I appreciate you. It shouldn't be tied to an actual event. It shouldn't be tied to a specific thing they've done. It's more a matter of just saying thanks. And sometimes that surprise money, it could be tickets to go someplace. It could be actual cash. However you want to do it, but realize that it shouldn't be something that you do in a way that's tied specifically and performance-based, but is more just surprise type of money. Some of the things he was talking about when it comes to managing people, and that is managers control and leaders lead and inspire. And it's in business, you have to identify what is your role. Are you the manager where you're going to be just controlling numbers, or are you really going to take on the leadership role where you're leading people and inspiring people? And some of the reasons this becomes critical for you is when you start working with employees, there's three different things you're going to make sure they do anytime they come across a situation or problem. You want to train them, first of all, to identify what the specific problem is. Have them come up with three of the very best ideas that they have on how to actually solve that problem. And then have them pick the answer that they like the best and have them define why. I think the problem so many of us in business make is we are so accustomed to answering and solving everyone else's problems that we start training people and we take away their problem-solving muscles. And you cannot scale a business without having other people who can solve the problems for you. The key here is you want to be able to get away from the actual doing of your business and work more on the vision side of it. And the only way you can do that is if you have other people who are solving the problems inside of your business. So with that said, make sure that anytime you have an employee or a contractor or someone says, you know what, there's this problem going on right now and we got to find some way of fixing this, they're always trying to put that monkey on your back. The last thing you want to do is start taking people's monkeys. If you start taking people's monkeys, you're going to get weighed down. You're going to get nothing done. So the key here is to make sure that whenever you're working with employees or contractors, have them identify the specific problem, have them come up with three of the best ideas that they have to solve that problem, and then put the onus back on them to pick one of those three that they came up with and have them define exactly why that's their best one. What you'll see as you do this is those people who have the ability to solve problems will rise to the top. You also will then find out as you start listening to your employees and listening to people, if you start hearing more about problems than you hear about opportunities, then what you're going to find is that the job is actually bigger than the employee. The reverse is also true, where if all of a sudden you hear more about all the opportunities than the employee than the problems, that's a great fit for that employee. Because they're seeing the opportunities and they're seeing things that they can then go after. It's going to be extremely satisfying and fulfilling to them, and it's going to be a way that you know you've got a great fit for that. So I want to make sure that as you start working and managing employees, that you understand how those things tie together. As we start then talking about growth and growing and scaling your business, some of the things you'll find is that frequently you always think that if experience is your best friend. You may find in a growth situation in your business that experience actually may not be your best friend. What happens here is when all of a sudden you find that all of your experience is, you keep relying on the exact same experience, sometimes you're going to prevent yourself from looking outside. What I mean by that is we typically get into a whole bunch of just old routines and old habits, and habits will keep you where you are. What you want to make sure you develop is discipline, because discipline will allow you to grow. Where if you're always looking, if your experience basically is, well, we've always done it this way, this is the best way of doing it, and you're not willing to be disciplined enough to look for other areas and other ideas and ways of making things work, you're going to find those habits will keep you right where you're at, and it's actually going to stall your growth. So make sure that you develop discipline making decisions and discipline type of muscles in your business where you're very, very disciplined, but that it's not a habitual discipline. By doing that, you'll have the opportunity to experience a ton of growth because your mind will always be looking for different ways in which to grow versus habits and ways to just keep doing the same old routine. A couple other things we talked about was the idea as far as there's only two reasons for you to be spending money in your business. And one is, and you know, both of them are from an investing standpoint. And I kind of hinted on this a little earlier in this podcast. One is to get new customers. And the second one is for you to keep the customers you already have. And the reason I mentioned that is there's nothing, you may have had the experience where like AT&T and Verizon and Dish and DirecTV, these businesses drive me crazy. I've been a customer of all four of them at different times and all four of those businesses at for over 5 years each at different times as well. There's nothing more frustrating to me than realizing that I've been a paying customer and yet the only way I get the good deal, the incentive, the promotion is if I'm a brand new customer. My only reason in saying that is too often businesses get very short-sighted in thinking all that matters is new customer growth, that they forget the importance of the existing customer and realize that I have switched from AT&T to Verizon sometimes just to get the new promotion because I was so frustrated that the carrier I was with wouldn't give it to me. The same thing happens with DirecTV or Dish. And it's just like, are you serious? You mean this new promotion that you're giving, 2 months for whatever it might be, I only get that if I'm a brand new customer, even though I've been paying for the last 5 years. And you'll hear that the salespeople, oh, yeah, but it's just for our new customers. Where you literally are starting to force your existing customers to leave you to go to your competitor. So maybe at some later time, they may come back and become a new customer again. It's the most bizarre thing I've ever seen in business. And it's one of the things that drives me absolutely insane. So make sure that when you're looking at growing your business, that you understand what is your cost to keep a customer. It's a huge metric that I'm looking at right now at ClickFunnels. And that is, I already know what our cost to acquire a customer is. We have a ton of front ends. And most of our front ends, they're gonna range anywhere. Our average cart value will range typically from whether it's a free book or our One Funnel Away Challenge. So our free books, .com Secrets, Expert Secrets, the Perfect Webinar Script, all those, our average cart value on that is typically ranged between $32 and $38. And our typical cost to acquire a customer ranges between about $20 to $26. So we always end up making a couple bucks on that. But then they get introduced to ClickFunnels and we actually acquire that customer for free. On our One Funnel Away Challenge right now, our average cart value is about $172 to $175 bucks. And our actual cost on that to cost to acquire customers is $100. Now we've got about a $50 fulfillment piece in there. So if you look at the fulfillment and everything else, we're still, it costs about $150 to $156, but we're making that $170, $175-ish range. So we're still making money on the front end to whenever we're looking at that. So we spend a ton of money on all of our front end products because we can then introduce them to ClickFunnels. The main metric, though, I'm really trying to identify now is what's our cost to keep that customer? It does us no good to have this revolving door where we've got people leaving all the time. So our whole focus now is actually on reducing churn and on keeping our customers and seeing what is our actual cost to keep a customer. So some of the metrics that I'm going to be figuring out here is what's the average number of support tickets each customer goes through on a monthly basis? What's our cost to fulfill each one of those? What is our cost for software? And then with that, say, okay, what else can I do to either reduce churn or find ways of getting a person to stick longer? Because realize the hardest dollar to ever get is that first dollar online. The last thing you want to see is that dollar churn and leave you. So we're always very focused on what is your CKC, your cost to keep a customer. So look in your own business and find out what's your cost to acquire a customer and then what is your cost to keep that customer. Some of the main things that you'll find in any sort of business is to make sure that your focus is on driving those numbers and those metrics. Again, cost to acquire a customer and average cart value on the front end, and then on the back end, what's your cost to keep a customer. I had a great time spending time with Keith Cunningham. Highly recommend his books. If you haven't taken a look at his books, he's got quite a few of them out there. I recommend you take a look at them. Spend time in it. Most importantly, get to know your own numbers in your business. Have an amazing day, and we'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks so much for listening to another episode of Funhacker Radio. We are about ready, though, to change some things, and I wanted to kind of reach out real quick and let you understand some things you're going to see happening real quick here. Probably about the middle of April of 2019, we're actually going to be changing the format and really the purpose of this podcast. So up to this point, I've been spending a lot of time interviewing some of our funnel hackers and things and telling their stories. We're going to continue to do that, but we're going to add in a new little twist. Currently, right now, as of today, we have just under 78,000 customers currently using ClickFunnels. And what we thought is, why not have you guys come join us on the journey to create a culture of 100,000 rabid, excited funnel hackers? So what I'd like to do is just invite you along. Continue to, if you don't mind, rate, review the podcast. Let us know if other people, even possibly outside of our funnel hacker community, you'd like us to bring in and interview. And really want to make sure that you understand the purpose of this podcast is to help you in building your culture and building your community, your tribe, and really helping you understand what it takes to build a community of super, super excited, passionate customers who rave about your service. More importantly, they spend time talking about it, referring clients to you. So with that said, join us as we on our journey to over 100,000 customers. We're going to try to get this done before the end of 2019. So thanks so much for listening. Rate and review this and enjoy the journey.